Let me ask you to go to God in silent prayer and ask Him that whatever this message from the Word of God is, that He will apply it to your heart. All right, Overcoming Evil Part 2. And as we come to this, the same passage, same verse, going over some other thoughts, what this actually refers to. So we want to ask this question, what is the evil that he's talking about here? There's lots of ways, and we saw this morning that the word evil is just the general word for bad, anything that's not good. So what is it that we're dealing with? Well, the passage there that I listed for you, verses 14 to 21, deals with specific rather than general evil. Specific rather than general. And so that prompts the question, what specifically are we talking about? Well, it describes the evil, the very personal experience of evil, that is directed toward you, the believer. This is suffering at the hand of someone else. Now, the Bible tells us, God tells us in His Bible, that we may face two kinds of punishment, one from God, one the other from man. This can be deserved or undeserved. Then also, there are two kinds of chastisement. Punishment is you receiving the due consequence of your sin. Chastisement is something that teaches you not to do that anymore. And again, it can be from God or from man. However, behind all of this is the evil one himself. He wants to bring disgrace on God's name through you. He wants you to fail. He wants you to get discouraged and give up. Just talking on Messenger with a lady who just facing an overwhelming opposition to everything she holds dear. And I said, well, this is the time for prayer and fasting, the time to gather people that you can trust, people that love you, and start 6 p.m., go to the next 6 p.m., and take your three meals as time of prayer, and pray passionately for God to dispel the work of Satan in this, and to open the truth to bring glory to Himself about proper decisions that have been made. The evil is strong. The essence of this kind of evil does not lie in its power to cause suffering. We sometimes are caught up with that. That's actually its effect. It's not the essence of it. It just is the effect of it. And the essence lies not in the fact that it was unprovoked. Why me? This is what makes it terrible. But this kind of evil is, the essence of this kind of evil is that it is against the Christian because he is a Christian. And this may not be entirely obvious. I remember listening to a report of Congress when people were talking about we can't do that, that it violates people's religious rights. And from the Democrat side was called across, it was your religious people that kept us in the back of the bus. This is actually blaming Christianity for racism, which Christianity was the people that liberated slaves from slavery. So it's the essence of this evil, that it is against you because you're a Christian. We see many reasons for this in the scripture, but I thought we'd just chase down some scriptures here. And by the way, sometimes this even comes through a sinning believer, but God pictures it here as inflicted by an unbeliever. That's the normal cast of it. But do not confuse this evil with punishment that we deserve. Peter explains that for us in 1 Peter 4:15 and 16. But let none of you, you Christians, suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Just don't do that. He says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Doing what you do in response will either bring glory or not to God. And then this is suffering, but it is the suffering like Christ for righteousness' sake. John 1:5, the light shineth in darkness, and this light was Christ, and darkness comprehended it not, didn't understand what it was all about. And this evil comes because your life rebukes sin, and the sinner does not like that. You'll recognize this when at various times in my life, I would say, I wouldn't be interested in doing that. And they say, well, that bothers me. I said, how could it bother you, what I choose to do? And he says, well, that makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong. I said, well, I believe it is. That's why I don't want to do it. Well, they didn't like that. Didn't like whatever my decision not to go along to make them think that I thought it was wrong. Come back to Christ. Sin and darkness hated the light, tried to extinguish him, but he overcame them. What a surprising way. He died. Evil attacks us because we belong to Christ. So, in that regard, let's organize our thinking that this is not primarily against us. It's directed toward us, but it's not primarily against us, but is primarily against the light of God seen in us. John 15:19-21. Christ counseled his disciples in this. If ye were of the world, he says to his followers, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. So they will come up with reasons why you're some goody two-shoes, and they don't like it. So, this is answering the big question, what is the evil that you fight? Let us then look at this. We're overcoming something. We are conquering something. It's because you are, as a believer, you are in a war. The word overcome in Romans 12:21 is a war word. It comes right off the battlefield. It pictures conquering. It pictures the defeat of an enemy. God saved you out of a world of sin that is now being controlled by the devil's influences. So you find yourself, no fault of your own, you find yourself in the battle of life. Your battle is with sin. Sin in your life, sin in other lives. Paul describes the sinful attempts of others to hurt you in this passage. Satan's goal is to disgrace Christ in your defeat, to have you just lay there whimpering. Nobody likes me. And this warfare, it began in the Garden of Eden when Satan attacked God's character by attacking his word. You remember what he did. God had warned them in love not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Good grief, he's not going to eat, kill you for eating a piece of fruit. See? You will not surely die. I'll tell you what's really going on, he says. God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. God doesn't want the competition. He doesn't want you to be as wise as he is. This is casting the warning in a very different light. This is saying, God is keeping me from something that I might like. Well, God responded to this attack in the next passage, Genesis 3, 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, the domesticated animals, and above every beast, the wild animals of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. If you decide not to walk anymore, just crawl on your stomach, you're going to eat a lot of dust. It's right down there. And I will put enmity, animosity, between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. This is talking about descendants. And it shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. And this culminated in Christ being the seed, as Paul tells us in Galatians. And he's the seed that bruised, the word could be crushed, Satan's head. He is a defeated ruler now. And thus began the war of the seeds. So what happened was that at salvation, you had been in the devil's army. You were of your father, the devil. You were born that way. You were subject to the sin condition. And this was the source of you choosing and doing sin. And Satan was active in keeping you blinded to the truth, to the light. But at salvation, you joined the Lord's army. I suppose the best image in my mind of this is Saul of Tarsus raging against the church, going door-to-door visitation. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Then you go to prison. And just grabbing them and dragging them off. This word haling in the King James is dragging them, grabbing them by some body part and just pulling them down through the dust of the road. And then, on the road to more persecution, he got saved. He resigned from Satan's army, joined the Lord's army. I'm in the Lord's army. But you cannot do effective battle against the enemy that you do not know or recognize. So this whole job of overcoming evil means you've got to know what's going on here. You must understand that you are in a real war. This is real. You will engage the enemy every day. You can't take a day off. I'm just going to stay here in my pup tent and not go out there anymore. Now, if you are in a comfortable place, perhaps you live far from the front lines, you'll be tempted to forget the battle. You don't hear the gunfight, you don't see the flares of light and so on. It's sometimes easier to recognize you're in the battle when you're at the front of the lines, when the attack is more open. We know some missionaries face physical, financial battles. The enemy is very strong. Some governments pass laws against Christianity. We're seeing that attempted here. Here behind the lines, we're more subject to snipers who strike without warning. Designated enemies of God trying to do us damage. But remember, your commander-in-chief gave you battle orders. This is not up to you whether you want to participate or not. So you remember we learned from Romans 6 that there were three ways to grow in Christ. It was the three words: know, reckon, and yield. So what I'm saying to you here is, know God's truth that you are in a spiritual war. He says in this passage, overcome, be a conqueror over evil. So that is the truth. Recognize it as truth. Then reckon, you need, analyze it, that you need to study your orders carefully to prepare for the battle. Apply that to your own heart. And then yield. Yield the members of your body as weapons of righteousness. You teach your hands to fight. You teach your feet to guide you. You teach your words to do real damage to the enemy. Not with vile words, not with harsh words. The words of forgiveness and blessedness. Bless those that curse you. This is taking the good to defeat the evil. Where do I get this idea of weapons? It's right there in Romans 6:13. Let's look at this. Neither yield ye your members as instruments. And the King James margin tells us here that this word instrument is the Greek word for arms, for armament, weapons. And he says, don't yield them to be weapons of unrighteousness unto sin. You've been there. You've done that. You know what that's like. In fact, that might be unconsciously the way you go about things. You got to stop that. Don't yield that. But instead, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. So yourselves are yielded, and not only all of yourself, but your members as instruments, again the same word, arms or weapons, of righteousness unto God. You are striking the goal with your weapons of righteousness unto God. I'm using tonight my voice as it is, and a member of my body, I'm using it as a weapon to fight the devil's works. See, the battle may be when Daniel found out that he had to find out something unknowable to save his life and the lives of his friends, he called upon his three Hebrew friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the first time we have a record of a prayer meeting, a group prayer meeting, is there in Daniel. And so they prayed through the night. That was prayer and fasting. They didn't have potato chips and dip through the night. They were praying for their lives. And at the end of that, God revealed it all. Saved their lives. So it may be a work on your knees. It may be your dedication to pleading with God, recognizing He has the power to do it. Learn what it means then that you are in a real war. Recognize that is truth. Then take it to yourself that I need to prepare. And then yield the weapons God has given you. Your sharp mind, your clever hands, your feet to take you out of the way of evil and into the way of righteousness. And your mind, your tongue, your eyes, your ability to analyze all of that. Instruments of your body. Give it to God. All right. Short message, but an important thing to grasp for this concept. So let's go get snacks at the old shack. What do you think? That might be Pizza Shack. I'm not sure. amazing colors in it. Let's pray. Father, you've given us an opportunity to recognize that whether we ask for it or not, we are in a battle. We didn't cause the battle. Satan did. He started it. And we are working to protect ourselves. We are working to protect the work of God. We are working to defend your name. Father, all of these are very worthy goals, worthy of our labor, worthy of our sacrifice. I ask that you might so guide and direct that we might recognize that whatever it is that we need to do, we can do it, for you have called us, not in an empty way, but you have called us to overcome evil. So, Father, help us to believe that. Help us to understand that and believe it, and then to act upon it. Now, Father, it's for all of us. And if we consciously declare, I am absent without leave, I'm not going to be in the fight, then what we've actually done is, for the moment, change sides. We're back to where we're part of the problem, not part of the solution. Help us then to be dedicated to thee and to even our own self-preservation. Keep us well and safe and quick to recognize evil for what it is and fight it with the good. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.